Welcome to Cyber AI with Alan W. Silverberg, the podcast where cybersecurity, artificial intelligence, and digital reputations collide. I'm Alan W. Silverberg, and today I'm going to put on actually like two hats. They're kind of serious. One, ethics, and one, privacy. They're two different things, but in this digital age that we live in, they get conflagrated a lot, and more it affects all of us. In my opinion, this is just my personal opinion, we're diving into basically like a rising storm, kind of the ethical battles brewing in cybersecurity and reputation security and corporate governance. As these artificial intelligence tools that we all talk about so much become dominant forces now across every part of our business and culture, it's happening. This is not something that's going to happen or maybe. When you hear about all these job losses occurring in the economy, part of the way that these companies are picking up the slack is through artificial intelligence driven tools. It may not be pure artificial intelligence. It might be something that's calling itself artificial intelligence, but making them smarter, or it could actually be true intellectual, property such as artificial intelligence tools. So, now basically we're seeing a situation where whether it's creating the intellectual property, movies, TV shows, cartoons, music, or your likeness or your brand. AI is now both a sword and shield. We're seeing this in every industry. We're not just seeing this in the entertainment space or in sports or in the CEO suite, but really this is all across the world, more likely in Western countries, but definitely it's something that can affect everyone everywhere. Well, what happens now? Like when humans disappear from this process. I mean, if you're firing everyone and the CEOs and the owners of the companies, I'm an owner of a company, I have a small business. But what happens when these large businesses are basically getting rid of a lot of people? They're substituting people's expertise for various artificial intelligence systems. What happens when humans disappear from them? When there's nobody left who really understands how the AI systems work, let alone how to fix them when they veer off course, or even how to turn them off. Let's break this down a bit. I'm going to talk about some examples, but also just talk about this a little bit because I think this is one of those important things that's going on right now. Segment one, the corporate black box. In 2024, last year, I'm not going to name the company because for legal reasons, a Fortune 500 retail brand deployed a fully autonomous AI suite to manage marketing campaigns globally. This included generative design tools, synthetic voice actors for ads, and AI-generated celebrity endorsements. But the kicker was the artificial intelligence system that they were using was trained, and this is the key to all artificial intelligence systems, is how they're trained, what was the original material used to train them, and what's the ongoing materials used to train them. This particular system in this particular Fortune 500 retail brand was trained on improperly licensed materials. That might sound like lawyer speak. Improperly licensed material. But it's not. It's actually in this artificial intelligence world that we live in now, this is a constant question of where is the attribution of content coming from. When you see these AI-driven videos and you hear AI-driven music and you see AI-driven movies, what is it originally coming from? Is it true that the artificial intelligence is truly creating something new? Or is it just taking over old things that used to happen and then rehashing it in a new sort of AI guise? So in this case, their campaign featured an eerily accurate yet synthetic version of a deceased pop star who suddenly was now endorsing products. Of course, the estate of this particular celebrity had not given permission to this retail brand to do this. And of course, this led to huge problems, lawsuits. But by the time the company's compliance team kind of got to the bottom of it, the campaign had gone viral, truly around the world, and the estate was then sued the company for intellectual property theft and digital impersonation. The executives of the business claimed on the record that no human had signed off on the ad because no human had ever touched it. This wasn't like a deep fake moment in the basement. This was a corporate grade artificial intelligence engine that basically went unchecked. Maybe it was a deep fake in the basement as well. But really, what we're talking about here is what's in those black boxes. So we're all hearing so much about artificial intelligence this, artificial intelligence that, agents, agentic behavior. I mean, you better start learning these terms because this is what's coming. It's all here now. It's happening. But what does this mean? Like, it's one thing when you actually have artificial intelligence and there's something really cool going on. And it's another thing when you have a bunch of humans in a room either putting together code themselves to make it look like something is happening, or worse, there's nothing there and it's just a vaporware and they call it artificial intelligence. But what I'm talking about is, these companies are investing millions of dollars into tools. Sometimes they don't even know the tools that they're investing in terms of like they don't really know how the algorithms work or what they can do. Or if they do know, they don't always want to admit it because sometimes they want it to do things that are bad. And I'll give you an example. Just like this particular retailer used the deceased image of a former rock star, what happens when you have companies that are copying the copyrights of other companies blatantly through artificial intelligence, but then they turn around and say, oh, well, we didn't have anything to do with it because this is the artificial intelligence tool that we use. Meanwhile, company B that got all their stuff stolen is like, wait, hold on. You just took our logos, you took our images, you took our 50 years of messaging, and you just wrapped it into some new artificial intelligence video, and you're saying that it has nothing to do with us. And so we're seeing lawsuit after lawsuit after lawsuit now in courts at state and federal levels. I am not a lawyer. I'm a cybersecurity expert. I'm a reputation expert, CEO of Digijax Group. Speaking of Digijax, when you go to digijax.com website, it's digijax.com. There's a button that says Cyber AI with Alan W. Silberberg, where you can not only learn more about the show and obviously catch episodes. But also, there's a link to the special services that we offer, the cybersecurity and reputation services that we offer to both clients and listeners of this podcast. So I encourage you to please, if you think that you need cybersecurity help or reputation services or both, please get in touch with us or you can get started right away in some cases, certain services. Segment two. AI ethics, like AI ethics. And then now we're at the world where the ethics are being ejected from the AI equation, I guess. I'm not sure. But so we're now entering what I call, or I'm about to call, the ethics crash, the AI ethics crash. The AI ethics crash. The AI is replacing humans so quickly in so many key governance places, processes, and roles. And that we're skipping steps, especially in back office operations, maybe even in legal review, and maybe even in how communications are being sent to investors and board members and to government regulators. Additionally, we also have a situation where we have a collapse in the regulatory environment driven by the recent cuts at the federal government level, and many people in this new administration in Washington are pushing to deregulate artificial intelligence as much as possible and get rid of the regulatory review boards and get rid of privacy boards and get rid of the ethics and privacy complaints about artificial intelligence by basically getting rid of the regulators. Whether that's going to work or not, we'll see. But that's basically where we are right now. A recent study showed that 71% of all enterprise companies, it's like a large company, are now using AI-driven decision engines in at least three core operations now, with another 30% roughly reporting that they have no humans in the loop in those operations, the ones where they already have the artificial intelligence operating. So in other words, there are large companies now that are running parts of their businesses purely on artificial intelligence with no people involved. Why? So what? Like why? Why is that happening? From a business perspective, it's speed, efficiency, cost cutting, but also like things like being able to like see what your competitors are doing in real time and then make adjustments in real time over marketing or and or even product levels, design levels. I think that the AI revolution, if you want to call it that, has also allowed companies to be competitive in ways that are both good and bad. And now they can take out ads against their competitors using information about them in AI, using a fake website and a fake prompt and pretend it's never them and just say, oh, we don't have nothing to do with that. And all of a sudden, but it's out there. And even if they go to court, the original stain is there. This is what we see a lot in reputation situations where, the initial hit hurts a long time. And even if people start to try to fix that, the initial hit sometimes lingers because of the it takes a long time to get people to unbelieve what they initially believe. So whether you tell them a lie or a truth, if they believe it right away, and then you come along a few weeks later and say, oops, sorry, we're gonna make a correction, or we're gonna issue some sort of alteration to what we originally published. It doesn't matter because really the first thing that people heard is what sticks in their mind because of how fast our attention span is moving from one thing to another. I mean, you were all guilty of this, right? If you hold your phone in your hand, how many things are you looking at in a minute or 30 seconds even? It's not a lot. It's a small amount. When you start thinking about what's going on with ethics here, and if all these things that we're doing, these automatic things that we're doing in our hands and our computers and our cars and our large companies are doing behind the scenes are all AI driven, there's no humans in the loop. What happens if the AI was programmed wrong or it was trained wrong or it goes off course somehow? This is like a real question. I mean, is there going to be any ethics at all? Is who's going to be making decisions about how things get done and are they legal? And I mean, at some point we might be entering a world where things just start to happen because some AI that wasn't programmed correctly starts to, have a hallucination, as they call it, and reprograms itself or does something a little bit different, and all of a sudden, you have a different result that may not be legal or it may not be something that's ethically allowed. So, I mean, another real world example, I'm not going to name them because I don't want to deal with any legal issues. However, a global law firm, large law firm, also in earlier of this year, 2025, they used an artificial intelligence platform to automatically respond to various client privacy requests and various client content takedown notices. They thought they were being smart until the system began sending out settlement offers and legal threats without any type of partner approval using legally outdated templates. In other words, there was picking up templates from their network that they had used years before, and then it was putting it into this new situation. No lawyer was actually writing anything, but yet it was being sent out. I don't think it went on for long. I think they were able to stop it pretty quickly, but a reputation nightmare obviously blossomed for this particular firm. with regulators, opening inquiries into essentially unauthorized legal actions. So again, the ethics of this, where are the ethics? Now we're into where does the ethics cross into governance? Well, a year ago, I would have been able to say, well, there's a number of different bodies out there that are looking into and or regulating AI. At this point in the United States, we're in a bit of a black hole with regard to that. The European Union has been very specific and very de definite about creating artificial intelligence ethics rules and privacy rules that are very strict. They have fines. They'll go after companies, people. They have issued a number of fines already. It's extremely strong law. California has a set of privacy laws that are very strong. Their ethics laws are also very strong, but the artificial intelligence laws haven't quite kind of caught up to those two areas yet. A few other states also have quite powerful privacy laws, and but we're still not at a point where the ethics of AI and privacy of AI is something that's being addressed in any type of regulatory framework. That's something that could be seen in all 50 states. So, like, who's responsible for this type of putting ethics into the artificial intelligence and watching over our privacy and the governance of this? Who is responsible? Who's responsible when artificial intelligence acts autonomously in any regulated industry? Is it the CEO? Is it the developer? Is it a ghost in the machine? A number of judges have said that you can't blame the artificial intelligence, so that there's always going to be a human that's responsible for something that goes wrong. So, in various courts and across the United States and across the world, we've now had judges make decisions that have said essentially that you can't sit there and blame the artificial intelligence system and try to get out of my courtroom and not get have a fine or go to trouble get in trouble. We're going to blame someone here. A human being is going to be responsible here. But who's responsible for making sure that the ethics and privacy is created in the first place and that it's done ethically, I guess is the right way to put it. As of now, I don't have an answer. I hope other people may have an answer, but I do think it's a massive risk that we're all looking at right now. And it's a big part of this cybersecurity and reputation and artificial intelligence collision that's happening that we've been talking a lot about on this show on Cyber AI with Alan W. Silverberg. I mean, this is part of why I created the podcast in the first place, is where we've entered a whole new world. Okay, segment three. No, so when you combine AI plus cybersecurity, are we looking at the danger or the saving grace? I've talked, actually have had specific episodes about this, but I've also given speeches about this periodically throughout my business career, technology. When you have new technology, you have a yin yang effect. You have a situation where you have a good use and a bad use of any tool or any type of technology or software that's created. This is true from a hammer that you use to put things together with, or a supercomputer or a supercar or a plane or a boat or so any type of technology or hardware or device or anything that's a tool or software that you create, invent that seems really cool. All of these things have a dual-edged sword to them. So there's always a good side and a bad side. It really depends on the who's using them and how they're being used. So I'm going to pivot now for a second. Segment three, AI and cybersecurity. Cybersecurity always, I think, to a lot of people seems like, oh my God, the minute I hear the word cybersecurity, my eyes glaze over. I'm going to get sick to my stomach and go throw up. I don't know what you're talking about. You're talking about terms I don't get. You're scaring me. I'm running out of the room. I can't tell you how many times, as a CEO of a cybersecurity company, that whether it's been in live incidents or afterwards, where I've seen people act in that way, where they basically may not actually run out of the room, but they sure want to, and they want to get out of their own skin, and they basically don't even want to talk about it. They're embarrassed, they're afraid for their own jobs, They're afraid for their livelihoods. They're afraid for their reputations. Afraid of getting sued. Artificial intelligence has made this a much more complicated mixture, and both of fear and psychological elements that drive other parts of it, but also just the speed at which all these things are happening now. So you would think that artificial intelligence might make things safer, yes, and it does sometimes if it's used correctly. Last year in 2024, we saw a huge spike in artificial intelligence-driven autonomous threat hunting tools that both stopped ransomware attacks before they could launch for, and that's a huge win. But they were also these same tools were used by criminals in, and instead of doing threat hunting, they were looking for vulnerability hunting. And they were using the same tools to look for your vulnerabilities in your networks and your computers and your home networks. And depending on who you are as a person, if you are high profile, they may have also been targeting other elements of your life. It just depends. Most people aren't targeted personally unless it's a personal thing, like an ex-lover or there's a you know a, something a fight over a will or something like that. But in general, companies get these types of attacks all the time, and they have to be ha handled correctly. So the same tools that you use for threat hunting are also used to go find your vulnerabilities. This year alone, there was a leading financial institution. You probably know their name. I know their name. They have had an artificial intelligence-based incident response platform. Now, this is something that's used in a lot of major companies. I highly recommend it if you find the right one that you invest the money to do this, because it actually does give you a ledge up against most attacks. However, this one I misidentified. I'm going to sound like a geek here for a second. It misidentified a non-malicious internal testing script. In other words, a piece of code that was designed simply to test the network's operations by the company, for the company. It was never going to be used for anything other than an internal tool. However, this artificial intelligence platform identified this script as hostile. In other words, the artificial intelligence misidentified this code that was already in the system, and it shut down internal communications for this financial institution for hours. This is during the market open, and it probably cost this company millions of dollars, if not more, in trading fees and errors and other things like that, plus legal and regulatory costs. Well, how did this happen? I mean, no one like could override the system in a way to stop it right away. They had to sort of play with it and configure it and deal with it. This is the same story we're hearing now in other situations. We've also recently heard about one of the major AI platforms sort of pretending not to shut itself down, or maybe it didn't shut itself down when a human being told it to. I think we'll hear more and more of these types of stories. In this case, it shut down the internal communications for, and then no one could override the system for a little while. Eventually, they figured out how. The cybersecurity team that they brought in, that had originally created it, that had built the rules for this testing script, guess what? They had been fired in a downsizing. So when after the AI was implemented in the financial institution, they got rid of a lot of the team of the people who had helped to put these testing tools into place. So once the artificial intelligence was in place, it went along and found this code in the network that had been there, that had been part of this testing thing that the cybersecurity team knew about. And yet the artificial intelligence came along and misidentified it, and it basically blew up this financial institution's operations, you know, for a couple days and probably a few weeks at least of trying to fix it all and replace things and maybe even put a person in place to who might understand part of it. All right, well, why might something like this happen? The artificial intelligence that was being used in this case, They didn't have a context. It could not understand like a human being might. The nuance of this live testing tool that was in the live environment versus a real threat that was coming from outside. No one had ever programmed it to understand something like this, so it saw it as a threat. There was no one left to fix it in real time. They were able to bring people in after the fact and deal with it after the fact, but in real time, this went on for several hours because, there were probably executives going, "Well, I don't know what to do. Do you know what to do? No, I don't know what to do. Who do we need to do? Oh, we got rid of all of them, 3 months ago." Well, there you go. And they re repeat that across industries and across different companies. And this is kind of the situation that we're in now in mid 2025, where a lot of people are being fired. There's a high level of employee rifts going on in the federal government, and that's also affecting a number of private sector and nonprofits all across the country. And at the same time, these organizations have either started and or are accelerating their implementation of various artificial intelligence tools. Right, how does this affect your reputation? I talk about reputation all the time, both corporate and personal. Segment four, the reputation equation to all of this. And earlier this year, a scandal erupted when a major fashion house used a generative AI system to create ads based on quote unquote celebrity energy profiles. The artificial intelligence mimicked the voice, the style, and tone of various personalities, people like actors and musicians and athletes. Guess what? Without their permission. The result, synthetic celebrity likenesses, AI generated influencer personas, and lawsuits. This is happening not just one time, but this is happening more and more often. There's more and more celebrity lawsuits now against companies who are using artificial intelligence to illegally copy their voice or their image or their tone or just imply sponsorships or partnerships or other things. If you think it's rare, think again. And this is a problem. This is a problem not just for celebrities, okay? This problem of being able to clone voices, clone images, to create identities is a problem for you, for me, for everyone around us. It's a problem for grandma. It's a problem for grandpa. It's a problem for your CEO. It's a problem for the government. This is really, we're entering a phase right now where there's no ethics to this. There's no regulations to this. These tools right now exist in a wild, wild west. There are obviously in Europe, the European rules for AI and privacy definitely apply here. Same thing in California. But I think most of America still is left wide open in terms of being able to deal with this. So synthetic celebrities can also be a synthetic you. There are dozens of AI startups right now that offer persona cloning services. It's not just for branding, but for product endorsements, podcast guest appearances, and even digital negotiation bots. I'm using celebrity tones. I've experimented with a few of these tools just to see what they are. Some of them can clone your voice in less than 10 seconds of you talking. Some of them can clone your movements in less than maybe 10 to 15 seconds of video of you speaking or moving in a video where it's clearly you. And so the ramifications of this could be horrifying for any of us. And this could lead to false kidnapping claims. This could lead to stalking. This could lead to all kinds of catfishing, and we've already heard about obviously years and years of catfishing going on the internet where people lose a lot of money to fake romantic scams that they think they're falling in love with someone, but it turns out that they're really falling in love with four different people running a computer 24 hours a day responding to them. and getting them to direct them to send Bitcoin or open up some sort of new financial account with some sort of financial institution they never heard of before. So this problem of synthetic celebrity likeness, synthetic persona cloning, is something that is no longer just about celebrities anymore. The reputation equation is something now that we all have to be considering, because now all of our hard-earned reputations can be thrown upside down with one of these synthetic situations, and it's very hard to stop it right now. So what the so are there ethics? Probably some people like me a little bit concerned about it. I know there's some lawyers who are concerned about it, but it's a true question here. Do we have any ethics going on with any of this? If so, how is it being regulated? What's the privacy rules that are being followed here? Are they sticking to the actual privacy laws in California or Virginia or New York or New Jersey, or where there's NIL rights, name, image, likeness rights? And these are now in many states, actually. And not only that, but they extend posthumously. So after someone dies, an estate can sue if a digital ghost is working for Pepsi without permission, or if your digital ghost is suddenly working for your old business or for some other business where you're being used for advertising or whatever, your estate can sue even if you're not around because of these laws, these extended posthumously name, image, likeness laws. Name, image, likeness is something you hear a lot about in sports. NIL rights are something that college athletes now have the ability to negotiate as part of a package, as well as getting paid. But again, we are again, ethics, privacy. The whole point of this particular episode of Cyber AI with Alan W. Silberberg is this question: do we have any ethics in these AI tools? How is it affecting people's reputation? How is it affecting our privacy? And who's overseeing it? Who's going to regulate it? And who's going to control it? Who's going to help you as a consumer if you have a situation where you have a someone took your identity and created a synthetic version of you or a persona, and they're using it? Who's going to help you? Segment five. How do we fix this? Okay, in my opinion, again, I am a cybersecurity subject matter expert and a reputation expert. I'm on the boards of three separate artificial intelligence companies. And so I speak this language every single day, and I'm dealing with this stuff every single day. In my opinion, we need a multi-tiered, multi-layered kind of solution. I think it needs to include things like this: artificial intelligence literacy at every level of governance. Okay, if your board of your company does not understand how artificial intelligence and how the artificial intelligence that you use makes decisions for your company or for your organization, then you're already in danger, and you're already created a risk and a hazard for your company. Because if you can't understand it, what happens when you go to court and a judge is asking who made the decision? And if you are trying to say, well, we relied on this artificial intelligence tool or these artificial, the judge is going to look at you and say, nope, sorry, someone's got to be held responsible. Who is it going to be? So if your board does not understand how this works, then and your company's making decisions on it that affects you, your investors, then your business is in danger. This is true for a five-person company and a 50,000-person company. Yes, I think that we need to have artificial intelligence ethics officers. And this is not like just compliance or quote unquote IT or privacy. Maybe it's a combination of all of them. But these are professionals who should be responsible for setting the ethical guardrails. I would imagine, in my opinion, it should be actually a combination of a couple lawyers, a couple people who understand cybersecurity, and a couple people who maybe even in the communications and marketing space, and bring it all together and make a team effort, because this artificial intelligence is now affecting all parts of our businesses. The ethics and the privacy piece of this also has to be in all parts of our businesses as well. It's just mandated. It seems like this is really critical. We need to make a human in the loop mandate. In other words, you can't just have artificial intelligence all the time, 24 hours a day, all AI, every day, everywhere, all the time. We need to have humans in the loop. There needs to be humans in the loop mandates, especially for sensitive operations, especially those types of things like critical infrastructure, things involving personal data, health data, legal actions, and obviously any type of public communications from government agencies or regulating boards or any type of health communication. There always should has to be a human involvement. There cannot just be artificial intelligence doing all this with no one except other artificial intelligence watching over it. We need humans in the loop, and this needs to be a mandate. We need reputation safety audits using third parties like DigiJax to test what your artificial intelligence says and does in the wild. In other words, like, so okay, you're using an artificial intelligence tool to market to or to communicate to your clients. What is it sending? Why? How is it communicating with them? Is it attaching any type of information that it shouldn't be? And how does this affect your reputation in the wild? In other words, if someone Googles you, or if someone's talking about you in a boardroom, what are they saying? And I really think at some point when we have a functional Congress, which right now I don't believe we have, but we need legislation. We need to have updated legal frameworks around synthetic content, around the synthetic intellectual property rights, and digital impersonation of non-celebrities. We have to have it fast. There's a lot of rules that help celebrities, but we need to have these same types of laws now applying to regular people, because these tools now are being used by so many companies and so many governments and so many different situations. So, like, what happens here when all the people who used to work in government or large corporations who used to service the government, or contractors or small businesses who serve the government, or just companies that are firing people because of AI, what happens when they disappear? Then there's no one left to fix the artificial intelligence, the AI, when it breaks. It's not like you could just bring your AI into the local garage and pop up the hood and be like, yo, it's making a noise. Can you please tell me what it is? No, it doesn't happen that way. And we're in a much more complicated scenario now. Now, maybe in a couple of years, we're going to have some sort of AI garage. Hey, bring your AI in and I'll fix it for you. But right now, I don't think we're quite at that point. We're nowhere near that point, actually. In all seriousness, I mean, I think we get companies here that won't be able to explain their own decisions. You're going to have CEOs blaming the AI, or board members blaming AI when things go wrong. You're going to have the brands that are hijacking identities of other brands because it's too easy to now. You're going to have, I believe, reputations and our rights, they're absolutely being destroyed by artificial intelligence automation. It's already happening, as we are seeing this through the amount of reputation clients that have been approaching DigiJax in the last couple of years has increased every year, in part driven by how AI is now elucidating part of people's reputations from their past that maybe they thought had they'd sort of hidden or had forgotten about, but then suddenly it came back because of all this. So now you're getting like this basically just destruction by automation, okay? You get a world where artificial intelligence is really not the helper, but maybe the bad actor. The future here is coming now. It was actually already here yesterday. But it isn't just about smarter artificial intelligence. It is really, in my opinion, about wiser humans building and guiding these tools. If you're curious to learn more about DigiJax, please go to our website, DigiJax.com. There are plenty of references and tools for cybersecurity and reputation. If you believe that you need cybersecurity or reputation help, please reach out to us. We also have a number of ways to immediately get started on various reputation and cybersecurity products. If you click on Cyber AI with Alan W. Silverberg, you'll see there's a number of links that lead there. Please like this and follow us on Spotify and share this podcast on social media. I really appreciate you taking the time out of your day to listen to this. I'm Alan W. Silverberg, and this has been Cyber AI with Alan W. Silverberg. Stay human, stay secure, and stay skeptical.
Cyber AI, where the sparks will fly. Until next time we upload.